Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Over my life, really a calling over my life. I'll never forget it. one reason why I'm in ministry right now is because of that, the word he gave me. And I remember him saying, probably 20 years ago, I don't remember exactly how long, but I remember him saying, when the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl, God's going to start a revival. Yeah. That was probably 20 years ago he said that. We were like, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I don't know about that. Well, they won a few years ago, then they just won again on February 12th. 4 days before that started, what happens in Asbury, right? At the same time, there's this beginning of revival. Really, a revival speaks of what God is doing in the hearts of His people, like in church, like Christians. It's a revival of their hearts where the fire is lit again in really holiness toward the Lord and a renewal of our commitment to follow Him and forsaking all the other things we need to forsake. It speaks of His body being revived. Revived. So it was vibed once, now it's getting revived. Right? That's what revival is. An awakening is different. An awakening is really, sometimes it comes from revival, it's a spillover, but it's really for the lost and the unbelievers. Where their hearts are awakened to what is real, and that God exists, and that I am made in the image of God, and He wants to live on the inside of me, and He can forgive me of my sins. That's an awakening. And there have been four of those in America, if you're American, there have been four of those throughout our American history. I think the first one was in 1740, lasted a couple years. There's one a little bit later, 1790s, when we're in the early 1800s. Then there was one, let me look at my notes. Well, the one we just talked about, 1970s, the Jesus movement. That was an awakening. That wasn't just in churches. It was a bunch of hippies getting saved. So there were four of them. I missed the one in 1857. So the third one was in 1857. I lost it for 2 years. That started from a businessman started permeating New York. It started to spill out. And next thing you know, you got tens of thousands of coming to Jesus. Then the fourth one was the Jesus movement. And of course, we've had some outpourings of the Holy Spirit separate from awakenings as well. You read about Azusa Street in the early 1900s. Or the Welsh Revival, or of course that was another country. And God moved in the 90s, even from Toronto and Brownsboro, those type of things where the Holy Spirit was moving. So you see, God just amazes me. God is so good. He is so loving. He is so compassionate. When you read this Old Testament, one of the things that hits me over and over as I read this is like the heart of God is broken over and over and over and over. And the people that He has set aside to be His own, that He pours out His gifts on and His miracles and His signs and His wonders, and they constantly turn away from Him. And then you see, then they're broken and they get all messed up. And everything falls apart in their lives, and they get enslaved, and all this over and over again. And then every time, what does God do? He comes after them, like we were singing about tonight. He breaks down walls to pursue them, and come after them again, and give them hope and a brand new start, and forgive them all over again, and set them on the course again, slap them on the rear. You can do it. Go this way. And then, next thing you know, they get their eyes off onto the world, or on the other false gods, or immorality, or whatever, and it's the same process over and over and over again. I was reading, and well, I thought of this passage in Hosea. There were a couple of them, actually, in the book of Hosea. One of them was where it talks about Israel's unfaithfulness. The Lord has to condemn their unfaithfulness again. And then He says, I'm going to make your way difficult. And then I'm going to allure you and bring you into the wilderness and speak kindly to you. I'm going to give you vineyards from there. The Valley of Achor is the door of hope. And you will sing from there as in the days of your youth. I'm going to give you another fresh start. You better not deserve it. And then in Hosea 11, boy, similar. They've gone astray. They've gone after false gods. They've pursued really spiritual adultery, all those things. And then the Lord says, you didn't even know it, but it was me that was healing you. You didn't know it, but I was taking care of you. I had bonds of love for you. I was bending down and feeding you. Didn't even know it. And then he says this, so my people are bent on turning from me, but my heart is turned over within me, and all my compassions are kindled for. I have a wayward life. And that's, I guess, what in these scriptures Israel is likened to the wife of the Lord, who is constantly going wayward, going after other lovers. But the heart of the Lord, so full of compassion, all my compassions are kindled for her. Even when she does these things, I'm just going to keep the sin. I'm just going to keep the sin. And then, if you'll turn, I'll forgive her, back together again. That is God. That is God for us. It's amazing to me. This is God, when I think of our nation, you know, you've got the nation of Israel, that are the Lord's people, and then we've got America, which in many ways, our founders had this heart for God, many of them, aligned the principles of our nation on biblical principles, aligned them with the Bible, completely imperfect, yet had some righteousness in them. We saw the blessings of God. In fact, it says in the Psalm, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And our nation has been blessed because we invited him into our nation. This is why. I remember living overseas, and I was with a bunch of Marines one day. I was traveling with them. I forgot where we were going. And I remember one of them was, we were looking at the local people, and they were just kind of making fun of them for not being smart and all that stuff. And it hit me. Has nothing to do with that. Is why we, as America, are doing well, and this nation we're in is not doing so well. It has everything to do with we have invited God into our nation and he blessed us. We are not smarter than other people from any other nation. It has nothing to do with smart. It has to do with a blessing. And then I think of the compassion of God over these 200 and some years that we've had a nation, to when we have turned, when people have gone astray, when the government on down, and the church has at times gotten hardened in the heart, God keeps coming after us. He just keeps coming after us. He just keeps pursuing us with his love, inviting us all over again. He is, my goodness, is he faithful? Is he faithful? Even if we are not, he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. His grace and his compassions are kindled. And how much more, even in this New Testament, we get to live in this new covenant, with the Spirit of God living inside of us, his compassions are toward us. I believe that we, not only is God on the move right now, but I think, I don't know that this is it, but I think this could get much larger and even touch the world again, and we get to be a part of it. Just as Jesus is the only answer, I believe God has been preparing you, been preparing us to be a part of something much bigger than ourselves for a very long time. It's about the kingdom. It's about what he has planned, not what we have planned. Thank you, God, for that. He's got big plans. He has a blueprint for everything all the way to the end of time. And he's inviting us into it. And I have this, just a sense that he is up to some amazing things for us today. As a church, but as the body of Christ. And I was reminded of this dream that I had. January 4th, 2000, 23 years ago. So I want to share this dream with you. I've wondered when the time might be, and I'm wondering if it's now. I don't know for sure, but I want to share it anyway, in case it is. So in the dream, I found myself, you can put the were flat up. And that truck, that's a 1956 International Harvester. It's the truck that I grew up driving. Learned to drive on a stick shift, no power steering. Used to get wood with it. It's my dad's truck, bought it before I was born. And I had this dream where I'm sitting in it, but it's like it's new, or newer. And I'm just sitting in it, so I'm heading to the forest. I don't know where I am in the dream. All of a sudden, I see my grandfather, who had been gone for 20 years at this point, decades. But I see him walking toward me. He looks through the window at me, and he looks much younger, and he doesn't recognize me. He doesn't know who I am. So I haven't been born yet. I think it's kind of weird how this works, but he doesn't know who I am, so I know I'm not supposed to tell him who I am. So he just keeps walking. And as he passes the vehicle, all of a sudden, the truck lunges forward. I'm in the driver's seat, but I'm not driving. And it just takes off, and it picks up speed, and it goes off-road. Now, this is a four-wheel drive, but this thing goes off-road and starts driving through and over rocks, shrubs, trees. And as it hits something, I'm walking like it temporarily high center, then it just keeps going, and then after it drives over trees and over shrubs, it picks up speed. It's going faster and faster and faster, and I am not doing anything. I'm just along for the ride. And it was great for probably the first 10 minutes of this. Because it was just like, this is supernatural. I don't understand what's going on, but this is amazing. And then the speed got so fast that it started to scare me. And my sense of enjoyment and exhilaration turned into fear and panic. And I thought, I've got to slow this down in some way. And so I decided for the first time to hit the brakes. So I tapped the brake and the pedal went all the way to the floor. Nothing. So I start pumping it. Nothing. And then I get even more afraid. And I'm trying to control this thing. And so I grab the emergency brake. And that truck is on the ground. It's like right here and pull back. I did that. Nothing. No brakes whatsoever. And the speed continues to increase. And so, last resort, you would never do this in real life, is what I did. I stepped it in reverse. Put the clutch in, put it in reverse, and let the clutch out, which would blow the transmission up in real life. In the dream, in a second, as soon as I put it in reverse, it didn't just stop, it changed direction. And now I'm going probably 20 times faster in reverse than I was going forward. Terrified. Absolutely terrified. And I turn around and look through the window, and there's my dad standing at where I started. Like in five, it took me like 12 minutes or so to get to where I was, and in split second, I'm already back at the start. And I'm about to run over somebody. My dad jumps out of the way like this, drops what was in his hand, which was some planes and a glasses case. I run over those things, and the truck stops. And my dad doesn't recognize me either. He doesn't know who I am. And, you know, starts talking to me about, you know, this was a test ride you were in. And he says, you want to buy this vehicle? He tells me how much it is. And the dream is over. So I wake up, and I knew God was saying something. It was very vivid. I knew the Lord was speaking. And as I started to ask him about this dream, I thought he said several things. One is that the International Harvester speaks of an international harvest toward the end of the age. That God will do. And I might represent a portion of maybe some church leadership that's along for the ride. Not controlling it, not driving it, not steering it even. Just along for the ride. And wherever this truck goes, you know, in the scripture, sometimes humanity can speak, or I should say, trees and wood can speak of humanity. And so I believe that wherever this truck was going, driving through trees, over wood, speaks of the harvest touching people all over the place, bringing them into the kingdom, reaching people that haven't been reached before. But the danger in the middle of this, and one of the things that I wanted to learn from not to do, is as I've studied moves of God in the past, whether it's the Welsh Revival or other moves of God, people have made that mistake in the past where they tried to control it because it wasn't under their control, and they killed it. And so, to me, this was a warning and a heads up to not try to do that when God decides to break out and do some stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if the ways that God does things in the future, or even perhaps right now, will not be like we think. And it could easily be overlooked or criticized. You could criticize that pretty easily. And so that's going to be, I think that's something else that we have to make sure that we don't do, is criticize or doubt what God is doing, even though before might be something different than what we anticipate. So those things, when that dream happened, and I've been praying into that, I wrote something about this a long time ago, 20 years ago, but it was just a week ago before I started thinking about this dream. A week ago, I was thinking about that, and what I would share, and one of the things that I wrote down in my journal was that we are the Lord's vehicle. And that, it's so funny when you look at my journal, and that the Lord is test driving us. I never once thought about this dream in this moment, but the Lord is test driving His people to work out the kinks for the real drive and what He wants to do through you and I. And, you know, I've bought several vehicles myself. Now, you know, our five sons, they've all had vehicles now. I've test driven a bunch of cars. And I do similar things. Every time I test drive a car, so you do the same thing. You're looking for some stuff. You want to make sure the engine works, sounds good. You're listening for noises and weird sounds and things that don't seem right. You're testing the brakes. You're testing the lights. You're looking on the inside of the interior. You're checking everything out to make sure that this is a good vehicle to purchase. That test drive, you're checking stuff. And I thought, you know, if we are a vehicle of the Lord, which 2 Timothy 2:21 says that we are His instruments, we're His vessels, or His containers that He works through with His vehicle. He certainly, that the Lord doesn't tempt us, but He does test us. He tests us. He tested people all throughout the Old Testament and in the New. See, the Lord is testing us. It's because He wants to use us. It's not for something negative, it's because He wants to do some amazing things through us. And so I have a couple of thoughts here on the Lord's testing us, His test drive of us right now. What kind of things is He looking for, and what kind of things does He want prepared before He purchases, or before He purchases, but you know what I mean, moves forward with us. And, you know, one of the biggest things you look for in a vehicle is what's the engine condition. And I think the engine speaks of being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Because the engine is the power. Engine speaks of power for a vehicle. And without it also runs all the other things that go on there. Using the alternator and cranking the alternator up, charging things. It speaks of power. And so we need to stay full of the Spirit. You know, when Jesus gave that story about the 10 virgins, with half of them have their lamps full and half of them don't. It was keeping your lamps full, which speaks of staying full of the Holy Spirit in every situation and every atmosphere. How do we stay full of the Spirit? We focus on Him and we see Him often. We see Him often. We've heard many times talk about standing at the bottom of the waterfall, opening up and getting refilled with the Holy Spirit. We can do it daily, we can do it weekly. If you do it monthly, moment by moment, fill me, Holy Spirit. I want to stay full of the Holy Spirit. You know, four people record the Bible were full of the Holy Spirit. Some had some, but then you have others that stay full. So the engine of what God is looking for in us is to stay full of the Spirit. Second thing I was thinking about is the frame, the interior, you know, the structure of the vehicle. I think that speaks of our daily relationship with God, our devotion to Him, what we were talking about a month or so ago, that simple devotion to Him, that relational health with God that is constant. We want to keep that strong, keep that ever-present, but in my mind every single day, this is a relationship with Jesus. I want to ask Him questions and listen to Him. What does He want to say to me today? And stay close to Him in relationship. And I thought of the, you know, things we always do, at least when I teach the people, is I crank the radio. What's the services of satellite? I think that speaks of our mind and what we're dwelling on. Psalm 19:14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to God. May the words of my mouth that I speak and the meditation of my heart, what's going on here in my mind, touches my heart. The Hebrew heart includes the mind. What's going on? What am I meditating on? What am I listening to? Is it the right kind of thing? Or is it not the right kind of thing? I want to get rid of thoughts and get rid of sounds and words that are hurting my soul, that are damaging my spirit, or at least causing me to be, to not live in faith. That's the last one. You know, one of the things I always do is turn out the lights. And I test our vehicle. What are the lights inside and out? But if you have no lights in the vehicle, that is difficult to drive without. If you have no lights, have your lights on. To me, lights speak of faith. Lights speak of faith. If there's something that the Lord has checked me on and helped me with over time, my Christian walk, then many, many times He has convicted me, lovingly, about me not living by faith. Since the just live by faith, or the righteous one lives by faith. Romans 1:17. It's also in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is absolutely essential. I'm not talking about just the faith that I'm going to be together with God in heaven forever once I die. But faith that He lives in me right now. And He could do anything through me if I allow Him, and He wants to. There's this faith that God could move in this moment because He lives in me. And anything could happen. And you know what? I think at least, not only in my life, I'm guessing for most Christians, that is an element faith tends to grow dim, you know, like the headlights grow dim. You get old headlights and they get dimmer and dimmer over time. And our faith is supposed to be bright, strong, helps us to move forward. We walk by faith. If I don't have faith, I'm not living by faith. In fact, the Bible says to examine yourself and make sure you're in the faith. Make sure you got faith strong on the inside. Here's what that means for me. For me, it is, am I looking during the day when I'm around other people to give someone an encouraging word? Am I looking to pray for someone? Am I looking for an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus? Am I looking for an opportunity for Him to move through me? That is faith to me. Am I trusting Him that I'm here not just to survive, but I'm here to allow rivers of living water to come out of me? And if I'm not, and it's all just in my world, you know, I can just go through the motions each day, living life. I can read the Bible, I can pray, but I can also not live by faith and do those things. God wants us to live by faith. Faith in the Son of God, faith that He is in me. That's one of the things I think that goes away as well, in addition to faith, in our thinking, is suddenly we find ourselves living separate from God. He's up there, but not in here. And I have to refresh myself. No, You are in me. And I look in the mirror, behind those eyes, is the Spirit of the living God, because He lives inside of me. It's the mystery, as Paul says in Colossians, the mystery is that Christ in you, the hope of glory. This great mystery that Christ lives inside of you and I. We're going to walk by this faith. asking myself regularly, am I in the faith today, Pat? Lord, is Pat in the faith? Not just theologically. Am I in the faith where I believe that you're in me and think it out today? You might want to do some amazing things through me today. You might have me step out and pray for someone. You might have me say something. Am I in the faith? Or am I nominal today? I don't want to be nominal. I don't want to be in cruise control. And so the Lord's test driving us in a good way. Because He has a mission for every single one of us. Multiple missions. Some are missions that your whole life is focused on. Some are missions that are short-term missions. It's like He's got an assignment for you today. He's got an assignment for you this month. He's got an assignment for you this quarter or this year. And they all go together. What's the mission that God has for you? Do you know your mission right now? I think that's important. What are you giving yourself to? What mission are you on? I was thinking that, you know, when God made Adam and Eve, there were two people on the planet, started out with. At the time of Jesus, there were 200 million people on the planet. So went from two to several thousand years later, 200 billion. And then by 1930, 2 billion. And you know how many are today, right? 8 billion. We just hit the 8 billion on this year already. So that's 40 times the amount of people on the planet since Jesus was here. A lot of people on the planet, and a lot of people to reach. A lot of people to reach. So that's why the Lord reached this fourth multiplier of His kids that are living by faith, that are living by His compassion, His love, so that the world can be touched, so the world can be changed. We are here to help make disciples, save those, lead those to Jesus, grow people in God. There are 140 million births per year and 60 million deaths. That's a lot of deaths. God wants to save people before they pass on and die. And we're here. I've got some good friends that are heroes of mine. One of them, I'm going to tell about my friend Tony. His name is Tony Gooch. He lives in Colorado. I was just on with him on this last trip to Africa. He's been going there many years. I did another trip with him probably a decade ago. And he is just a business guy who works for his contracts for the military. And I was working for the Space Force. Contracts for them. But what he does with his spare time, all his vacation time, he does missions. He just takes off. He's not a doctor, but he leads now 20 to 30 doctors and nurses on medical missions every time there's a vacation week. And he goes to Africa. In fact, he's the one who went to this village that I just went to. He went there first for the medical mission, service Muslim community, then we brought water. So I think they could hear the gospel because we'd already loved on them a whole bunch. And they were open, but Tony's been doing this all over the place. And he got into it just by saying, God, I don't know how you can use me. He went on a mission trip to somewhere else. And God spoke to him while he was there about something different. And now it's just this dozens and dozens of people at a time that he's bringing over, and they're healing people naturally and spiritually in many, many ways. My friend Claire, who used to go to our church, I took her on a mission trip, and I called her my friend who was my five-star hotel Starbucks girl before the trip started. If you know Clara, you know what that means. That's just who she was. And the trip was tough for her. But by the time she got back, God birthed something in her, and she's been living there for probably 8 years now. She moved to Africa, and she takes care of children. She feeds them and clothes them, and those who are suffering with AIDS, born with HIV from their parents, she's ministering to them. Carol, here in the room, ministering in Asia. Wait until she was, Carol, how old were you when you first went to South Africa? 50s? 51, 54? 51. Started at 51. First time going on a mission. And then what does God do? Puts and bursts in her all kinds of other things. To touch hundreds of thousands. what is your mission? Does it have to be Africa, Asia? Could it be Winston-Salem, neighborhood, this church? So many ways to serve, so many ways to be a part, but we want to be about the Lord's business, my Father's business, as Jesus said, in serving others, helping others, and watching what He births on the inside of us to help other people. There's no time to delay with, and it's not like a panic, and it's not like a drivenness, but it's an invitation from the Lord to be engaged in what the Spirit has to be your purpose and your mission. Here on the earth, while it's light, as the Bible says. While it's light, work in the day while the light is shining. There'll be a time when we won't get to do this. But now's the time. Now's the time to be light in life. Mark 4:29, God's scripture says, but when the crop permits, He immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. When the crop permits, He immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. There are harvest opportunities out there for all of us right now. And He's saying, Lord, show me, let my eyes see the harvest that You want me to have a sickle to. Do You want me to get involved with? Do You want me to get my hands involved with? My heart leaning towards? Sometimes it's supporting someone else's mission. Whether it's financially or prayerfully or going, being a part, but we want to all hands on deck, have that saying come to me this week, that is near the time for all hands on deck. That we are all going to be really involved in what God is doing in the earth. And so, Lord, we just right now just say thank You that You are so full of compassion. Thank You for reviving hearts, for reviving churches, for reviving us, for reviving our nation, those who have known You. Lord, may Your revival sweep this land and then go to all the other continents as well. And may Your awakening take place. Lord, we ask that it would turn to an awakening across the landscape, that hearts would come alive in You, that those who don't know their purpose would see it, that people who don't know their love would find it. Lord, that You would fill the recesses of every heart. Make Yourself known. Raise up Your name. Bring glory to Yourself, Jesus. We want You, who deserve the reward of Your sacrifice, to get Your reward. Lives, people, souls. Thank You, God, for this church, for these people, for all the purposes that are in this room. What You put on them and in them, some of them since they were little kids, You give them dreams and visions and things. You put a passion for a people group, a tribe, a neighborhood, a city. Lord, we ask that You would put feet to all of those dreams and visions. Lord, I ask that You put plans to it, that You bring inspiration. Lord, I pray for all of the hands that are in here as they serve and as they get involved, that You would bless them and that You would use them. May Your feeling come through these hands that are in here. May Your words come across our lips, words of salvation, words of the gospel, of the good, glad, merry news that makes people want to leap for joy, words of deliverance and setting the captive free, words where demons are kicked out. Use us, Lord, in this great kingdom of Yours. And we thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.